Es geht weiter.
So we're starting now.
We will continue. Julia.
Yeah.
Ist in Kabine und
I'm in the cabin. Can you hear me? Yeah, good. Thank you.
Oh, das falsch. Sie redet Englisch. Englisch übersetzen.
Yes. I hope you can hear me.
So,
yeah.
Those who need headsets for the English translation, please collect them. Really looking forward to hearing Sister Yuela, what God has given her, and I'm sure that's the case for all of us.
He should be speaking in German. Somebody needs to tell him German. Oh, poor David. So it's a person of great joy that we're going to hear Verena, for Sister Yuela. It's for, that applies to all of us, because she carries a great responsibility from God as part of this movement initiative, Wittenberg 2017. And God has given her important messages for this time. And Sister Joanna is part of the International Council of Wittenberg 2017. They want the people to pray for her. She's asking members of the council to come up and pray for Sister Joanna. So she's going to sit and we're going to stand. In the hope that everybody can hear me. Can everybody hear me? Also a piece of paper. She's a bit worried she won't manage both. So to start off with, she'd like to say something personal.
Das Thema ist
And the topic is, there is from John 10, verse 16, that there's one flock with one shepherd. And that leads us to Peter, who was put in his the office as a shepherd. She always felt related to Peter because of there are several things. He was always very quick to speak. He had a big mouth. So that's I'm that kind of Peter type. And exactly how he ignored Jesus' predictions that he was going to prophesies that he would suffer. And when he heard that, he said, "Oh, we'll manage, you know. I'll manage." And that was why he didn't hear Jesus' warnings, because he thought he could manage it. But after the resurrection of the Lord, the Church of Jesus was led by Peter. And this was started by the question of the Lord, who said, "Do you love me?" I'm not going to do a study of this text, but it's important to emphasize this, that the whole leadership of the church and the position of the shepherd, which Peter built up, was dependent on the answer to this one question: "Do you love me?" And Peter knew that he had proved the opposite. And that's the incredible thing about Peter. I'd have said, "Oh Lord, you know how much I've failed. And the way I am, you can't do anything through me." And the great humility of Peter is that, "Lord, you know everything. And you know that I love you." And that you can only do that if you're totally disappointed in yourself. So I want to say that's a very long road. And in these last few years, I have the impression that I've listened to what the Lord said to Peter. He gave him this responsibility, and he started with the lambs. Feed my sheep. And that's such a lovely picture. And I have the great present of seeing many lambs in front of me, and that was the Kizzy kids at Pentecost. I've never done any ministry with children, but it gave me such joy because there were so many lambs. Sister Damiana and Sister Letizia were there, and we all experienced it. So that's connected to the lambs. And otherwise, Jesus said something to Peter which wasn't so easy, that when you get older, you're going to stretch out your hands, and somebody else is going to lead you to a place that you don't want to go to. And I think that's been my way in the last few years, because me, and I've been known for these walk of reconciliation in the last few years, for somebody that's gone quite deeply into it, and I'm going to go into it today.
Aber das tue ich nicht, weil es irgendeine persönliche Liebhaberei ist.
But I'm not doing it because it's a personal love of me. I'm one of those sisters, and we have some others amongst us, who know much better about history and knowledge, and they have a lot more of a memory. But I have the feeling mine's a bit like a sieve. And I said, oh Lord, I've prepared myself for such a long time and I still don't know anything. But it always goes very deeply. And I always think again and again, oh Lord, isn't that enough? The worst places where there was a war and battle, I thought those lay behind me. And I thought, oh, maybe I've come out of these and things are going to get a bit easier. But then there's Wittenberg. And for someone like me, who was educated in this way, as a proud Lutheran, and I didn't get the vision for ecumenical until I entered into the sisterhood, but then of course that was just part of us. But my my task, my calling for God has become more to enter into this on a different level. And so, and I would say that the thing that consoles me, Jesus, when he was talking about leading where we don't want to go, he was showing the way that that Peter was to glorify Jesus. So exactly at the opposite what we think. So the deeper we go here together, the greater the glory that will come to God will be. And I know that so much is dependent upon this question for our church. And so to say it in a rather direct way, now, even though I don't have any official office, I see the flock in great danger. And that's the only reason that I keep on going back to a topic that I don't actually want to talk about. And Wittenberg 2017 just set off such loud alarm bells inside myself, more and more and more. Maybe it's better if Sister Leticia holds it, but she needs to have a strong arm. If it's Sister Leticia can't cope, then Sister Damiana will come up. Maybe it's a help. I'm only going to cite a few points of emergency because we need to know where the emergencies are. And our Mother Basileia and Mother Marturia saw this danger very early. We were founded as an ecumenical sisterhood. It was a very clear term, but unfortunately the term ecumenical became more and more blurred because into the ecumenical dialogue non-Christian religions were brought, so that blurred it. And that was why our founders changed our name in the 60s to the Lutheran Sisters of Mary's, or they say evangelical. And of course, that's not very good for the United States, but we needed. But in German, the combination is the best. So evangelical sisters of Mary's, I can't imagine being better. We upset both sides that way. So for some, it's too charismatic. For others, it's too little. But I just say you can take from us what you want. So now we're coming to the problem. And I'm just going to... now it's professional. Thank you, Ludwig. So that's the help for the weak hands. What we can see here, and I don't need to explain that to anybody. If you follow the media and politics, the anti-Israel sentiment. Yeah. So she hopes she's not going to lose her voice, but you're praying. It's a description, our description of Germany, that there is an excellent culture of remembrance here in Germany. We heard about that yesterday with these Stolpersteine, and so I don't want to belittle that. But if we follow that, then it becomes a culture of remembrance. So the Jews without Israel. So we accuse the victims of the past, and we don't see that today that Israel, which was created through God's sovereign intervention, that the politics and the history of salvation are coming together, and that's logical. And in the history of Israel, there was always two together. And now we have Israel. And it's very clear that here there's an incredible concentration of powers. That would come together in that place. So a culture of remembrance exists, but it's without Israel. And in the Evangelical German Church Day, did all the Germans know about it? They said yes to the Jews, but without Jesus. Richard was one of the only representatives of, was the only Messianic Jew there. He's at the back because he wasn't from Germany. So that's why he had the privilege to be able to speak for the Messianic Jews in Germany. That was the one consolation in what was otherwise a very depressing event. And that's, of course, totally irrational. That everything possible is allowed at our church, annual church conference or festival or meeting, but only people that aren't allowed in are Jews with Jesus. Jews without Jesus, yes. And we don't want to endanger the Christian-Jewish dialogue, and that can't be right. At least that's my impression. The authenticity. Everyone wants to be authentic today. That's not dependent on a culture of remembrance And that's not dependent on a culture of dialogue. Because neither of these two can bring the authenticity. And who, the only people who can really be authentic are us, the Church of Jesus. Why? Because we can identify with the guilt of our ancestors, because we know who we can bring our guilt to. And George said that very clearly. The problem of guilt has been solved by Jesus. But when you've lost the relationship to Jesus, then you've got problem with cultural remembrance and the culture of dialogue. So I'd say that our vision, one flock with one shepherd, brings us to the main affliction of our church. That precondition that Jesus has asked for in John 17 is no longer present. Jesus says in John 17:17, sanctify them in your truth. Your word is the truth. But if the truth is no longer the truth, and Jesus is the truth, then if you don't have that as a truth, then everything starts to wobble. So we can see how complicated this topic is. We can just see from the technical problems we're having. So that leads us to the main topic, the word. In these words, we can emphasize this different way, brother. That's why we bought the Bible. Because we couldn't get a heavier and older Bible. But we want to place it in the middle for all of us, but not the word in terms of the individual letters, because Jesus talked to the Pharisees very clearly about this, and they knew the Bible or the scriptures off by heart. So they knew everything, like where Jesus was going to be born, so it was clear from the letter. But it's the letter kills, and it's the Spirit of God that that brings things alive, and that's the Word, and that's Jesus. And that was an amazing discovery in the power. That discovery of the power of the Word has had a great impact on the history of our church, in church history. So I want to return to the main problem of our church, which is that the Word is no longer the truth. But Jesus says about this, in Revelation 19, he is described in his glory when he comes again. And it says, and these are things that really touch me, in the middle of this incredible description of Jesus, it says, his name is the Word of God. So, when we're expecting the Lord and preparing the way for this meeting, then he is going to come towards us as the living Word of God, and he has overcome Satan. Because he met the words of God, which had been distorted by Satan, with the words filled with the Holy Spirit. And now we come back to the flock. And so I'm going to read a couple of verses about this. So what is in John 10, 1-16, I won't be able to read all of it, but that describes the whole of the Wittenberg initiative. And it's such a beautiful description, but it's so clear. Jesus says, and I find it very significant that before he says he's the good shepherd, he says something else. He says, behold, I say unto you that the person who does not go into the sheep's pen through the gate but climbs in some other way is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. And then he talks about the watchman who opens the gate, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. That's 1-3, John 10. And that's a wonderful picture of how Jesus talks about his role of being the shepherd with the door or the gate. And then he said, he says again, behold, I am the gate. So what kind of a gate is that? Oh, what door? And we know that he only means one thing by this gate or this door, and that's the cross of Calvary. And the watchman is the Holy Spirit. Who knows exactly when the shepherd is coming, and he knows that only the flock can only come through this door and nowhere else. And the wonderful thing is that the shepherd goes on ahead of him, and the flock follow him, or the sheep follow him, because they know his voice. I can't say how much I lift that up to the Lord in all the questions that I have. At the beginning of the year, it's always the case with us that we're supposed to write our wishes for the year down. It's the first time this year that I didn't do that. I just wrote one sentence. I said, I wrote down, let me hear your voice and be obedient to it. And Wittenberg is for me the description. The good shepherd calls the individual people by name, and he draws them back in the right direction, because the sheep have become scattered. And that's why we're coming back to verse 16 now, where Jesus said, I have other sheep, and they are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They will too listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. And in the past, I always thought in a very harmless way. That all these divisions will all be overcome, Protestant, Catholic, and Orthodox, and it will all be beautifully together. And I never thought that Jesus says here, in my sheep pen, back to this sheep pen where I am at home. And that's the Jewish sheep pen. No, no, that doesn't mean that we all need to copy Jewish life. But that we recognize that we can't find our way back to the place where Jesus brought us out as a bride and wants to make us live in one spirit, then we'll miss our goal completely. And so that's this word that encourages me so much, because he's leading each person that the two are going to find each other. And so that means we don't have to pull down any fences. I hope you understand what I mean. In the past, I would have always been for pulling down the fences. But everything is now in such great danger, at least in spiritual. It must be overcome spiritually and be fought out spiritually, and we have to press through spiritually. Can't just pull down fences. And the fact that we are meeting here now in Wittenberg in Germany has an incredible significance for me. I always was afraid of going to Rome, but I had even more fear of going to Wittenberg. Because if you are from a Lutheran sheep pen, I only concentrated on the positive sides of Luther, but now the other side is very painful. I noticed it many years ago, maybe about 10 years, at least 10 years ago, because I noticed that this area spiritually is a very hard ground. It's apparently the most godless region in Europe. I didn't want to believe it, but we realized it was in Falkenrode. So we have to be able to cope with that, and even though we need to be able to also understand why that is. And if you've been to experience in other countries, you can know that Germany is world famous for two things, the Reformation and the Holocaust. And then the third thing it's famous for is liberal theology. And these are three very heavily charged points for me. And these are connected with falsifications and distortions of the Word of God, where the Word of God is no longer fully the Word of God. And Luther's life has really had an incredible meaning for the whole of Christendom, and that's connected to the Word. He discovered the treasures of the Word. And my favourite songbook songs is this Rejoice, O Christian Fellowship. It's wonderful. It talks all about the plan of salvation and God's mercy and love, and there's such gratitude. And that was the revival that came through Luther. But how easy does it happen? We start in spirit. How easy is it for us to start in spirit and end in the flesh? And I know that this was one of the first warnings. I think that it was in Trento. At least that's where I had a revelation about it. We can start in spirit, but can quickly end in the flesh. And that was always our prayer in these years. Lord, Help us to remain on spirits, on the path of spirit, because only then can the Lord bring us through. Through these invisible burdens. And we can see with Luther that from 1524 his positive face went until that point, and after that he became more and more a fighter against everything that didn't completely agree with him. And we have to say painfully that it was often defamation and persecution of his own and often his best brothers. And so then one division followed the next. And so Christians were persecuting Christians. And so before the gathering of the flock started, wolves had already attacked the flock and scattered it, and many died. And now there's a question for me, and I think each person can ask that of themselves. Where do we need to pay attention? And I would say from my personal experience, starting in the spirit and ending in the flesh. So either we give in to greed and the spirit of fighting, or, and I know this also, we conform out of desire to please man, and we give in to the spirit of the age. So it's either the spirit of fighting or the spirit of the age. And I think that that pretty much sums up our church. And so there's great tension between the spirit and the flesh, and the only way that we can overcome that is by remaining in the vine, Jesus. That's the most beautiful picture of Jesus, the vine. He is the way. He's a very narrow path and not a highway, a motorway. And it's the way of the cross. And we've heard that very clearly from George. And it's one thing I know, that when we start to go in this intimate walk with Jesus, then our path is increasingly shaped by his being. And so this is the king who's going to be riding into Jerusalem. He is gentle and humble. And John says he is full of grace and truth. It's always these things that come together there in Jesus. And that's why the effect is just so different to everything else. And now back to the affliction of our church. We can say that the mainstream of our evangelical and Catholic churches have increasing problem with the gate of the cross. And sometimes I think that we have more problem with the cross and the Star of David than with the Islamic crescent. And that's the great danger that the whole flock of the Church of Jesus is in. And without the cross in the middle, the way isn't possible and unity isn't possible. And on the cross is the honorary title of the Son. And the honorary title is also the honorary title, the Son is also the honorary title of the Father. And Jesus says in John 10:30, I am the Father, are one. And in John 14, it says, he who sees me sees the Father. And the Reformation came off the rail. The reason why the Reformation came of the Roman Catholic Church came, had all these mistakes, has to do with coming off the way of the cross. And so from the early centuries, the word Jew had become a word of criticizing and ridiculing people. But the Lord's Prayer says, your name should be, holy be your name. And so we've accepted salvation that Jesus bought us, but we're ignoring his Jewish identity. And Pilate put this name as a term of ridicule. King of Jews is what she's talking about. And but now we want today that this name, name of ridicule should be honoured. And this in Latin, it was I-N-R-I. And so at this point, I want to do a bit of advertising for a book, but it's only for those who speak German. It's a Messianic leader from Germany, Umshi Minsky. He's got an amazing life story. But I want... it was published in March. And that was the day that Mother Bazilei went home. And I was so thrilled. That is a book which we can use very well. To get this in your head and your heart, what a great grace it is that we have Jews in Germany again, and it's so amazing that they believe in Jesus, and there are people, these people in among us. But it's also not so easy. And I've got something, and I would like to read this, because what Anatoly wrote in his book could be my own childhood story. If I'd been in children's service, that would be my story, he wrote. I was due to hold a children's ministry service a few years ago. And so I asked them, what do you know of children? What do you know about Jesus? A Jew, sorry. And they said, do you know anybody in the Bible who's a Jew or a Jewess? And they didn't say anything. I'd have been quiet too. Of course they knew the stories about Abraham, Moses, David, Jesus. But they never connected that to Jesus. So then I told them that all the famous people in the Bible were Jews, and that Jesus was a Jew too. And that was a huge surprise for these children. And so I said to them, what do you think? Are there any Jews today? And they didn't know. And then I said to them, I'm a Jew. And then the reaction was very surprising. And they were very proud to have a member of the same people of Abraham, Moses and Jesus. And that's what it's about. But, of course, you understand that's really a tragedy. And so there's much to thank him. I don't really want to go into the depths that we normally don't want to go to, but we have to. So the depth for me is that And I'm so grateful that there has been a confession of faith that has survived all over the centuries. But it is lacking a reference to the covenant people of God. And if I had my way, I'd add a sentence each time. And when we say, born of the Virgin Mary, I would say a light for the Gentiles and to the, I think it said, to the glory of Israel. But of course, oh, I once said that, and it was really the wrong thing. And I saw that this confession is such a dangerous error. And of course, I'm just so grateful that we have this confession. So we want to preserve it with thanks, but maybe in your heart each time we can add these words, because children are so without prejudice and they're able to understand it in a lot simpler way. But now I'm coming to the most the deepest point, and I hope that you can bear this. And that all came together in the last year. Although I knew so much already, you can know so much. But in regard to this time and hour in which we're standing, the way that we went yesterday through Wittenberg was even worse than I thought. Even worse. Because I'm coming now to the passage in Hebrews. It makes me cry. Yeah, so it's really right to say to grieve. I've got pain and sorrow. It says in Hebrews 10, verse 28. And 29, anyone who rejected the law of Moses died without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much more severely do you think a man deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, who is treated as an unholy thing, the blood of the covenant that sanctified him, and who has insulted the Spirit of grace? And it ends... it says that God will judge his people, mine to avenge. And in Germany, we took this all the way. We've cleansed ourselves from Jewish blood. Recently, I got a book. I saw a book where it showed in the church registers how clean the Aryan genealogical line was, and that gave me such pain, because we're living from the blood of our Jewish Redeemer, and we considered this blood unclean, and we tried to erase it from our families. And that's what we mean when we talk about Holocaust or Shoah. And that's why for Germany, this 500th anniversary of the Reformation is where two history of churches meet, the evangelical and Catholic, and Catholic and evangelical. And Luther spoke about this in a very shocking way. But it's the last moment where we can repent. We don't know how long this Kairos moment that God's giving us in Germany is going to be there. But we know that God wants something to be broken through, and that's why we're here. And in Wittenberg, we're at the right place. because all the ways that we've gone together up to now, they are ending, they're convulging on Wittenberg. And Jesus gave his Jewish blood, and God revealed through the Ten Commandments, which were written in Hebrew on stone tablets. That's all the way of salvation, which we can't separate ourselves from, but we have to find a way back to the Jewish sheep pen of our Lord.